Hey there, guys. This is Super Ty, and I'm hanging out with Gil Gonzalez. And we're going to be talking about some comics. This is Taiwan On. This is our third episode. And Gil, thank you for joining up with us today.
My pleasure.
Excellent. So one thing I always like to start off with is, how did you get into comics? What do you like?
Oh, man, that goes back a ways. That's I'm old school, being 8 years old when Superman the movie came out.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that made an impact. When you're eight,
yeah.
You go to a theater, and they, you know, when the tagline said, "They will make you believe a man can fly," I mean, I remember everything about that time. I remember the theater to this day, where I was, who I went with, and just being astounded at what I saw. And that made such an impact. And Star Wars the year before that.
Right.
I mean, talk about a 1-2 punch.
It was a golden age for pop culture back then, and you got to be a part of it.
Oh, man. I'm thrilled to have been at that, just that 7-8-year-old age where your impressions for, you know, a lifetime can be formed.
Yeah.
It's for me, it's not Cub Scouts and camping and fishing. It's superheroes, Star Wars. That really hit home, and it just took me to a really nice place.
Yeah.
That I love till, you know, to this day.
Nice. So, can you remember what your first comic was?
My first comic.
I try to ask this out of everybody.
I remember. Oh my goodness! I remember seeing Rom Space Knight #1.
Okay.
And I remember even as a kid seeing #1, I thought that meant something. And so I pointed to mom and said, "Mom, I need this," and
right.
She bought it for me. And in it had the advertisement for other comics,
mm-hmm.
And I was like, "This is kind of cool." And I mean, of course, you see the Superman and Batman in the Sunday funnies when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, so I guess I was, you know, obviously exposed to that. And then seeing the, you know, more so in the comics, it was the Super Friends television show.
Oh, man, that show. That was...
Yes, I know. So,
it was great. It was a show. I mean, but, man, parts of it, I was just... When I remember watching it, too, but, like, you know, what was it? Big Chief?
Apache Chief.
Apache Chief, I'm sorry. And then I think Big Chief's a chewing tobacco.
Yes, it is. We're mixing our genres.
Yeah, a little bit. And then, like, Black Vulcan, which
Apache
I don't
Chief.
Know why they didn't say Black Lightning. Like, do you think there was
the PC police were not in place yet, so... It was very 70s, and they ran with it.
Right. So, we should pause for a second and talk about what we're drinking today. What are you drinking over there?
Hans Pils.
Nice. I am drinking some sort of pale ale, and here we go. Clink.
Cheers.
Excellent. Everybody listening, in case you don't know the whole premise of this, is we have a couple of beers, and we have a talk about comic books. So... Even though you were growing up in this really great time,
yes,
with some pretty bad cartoons,
awesome cartoons, you mean?
Well, it's just the way that they made, like, Batman was just this really friendly, like,
yes.
Come on, Robin, chum, let's just go do this. Well, in the comics, I never read a lot of 70s Batman,
mm-hmm.
You know, like, read a lot of 80s when, you know, it was like The Dark Knight,
right?
Not even just Dark Knight Returns, but like it took a grimmer turn for it.
It did.
So I was just, do you think that nowadays that comics are too dark, or should it be brought back to the, you know, the more fun, carefree days of Rom Space Knight and, you know, Super Friends.
A bunch of Super Friends. You know, that's a good question. I don't know if it would fly at this time.
Well, the reason why I ask is there's already kind of an upsurge of it. Like, I mean, there's Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur, and there's Squirrel Girl,
that's
and
true.
Some of the Supergirl comics. Not the main one that's going on, but there's a couple other ones that are, like, more cheerful, more friendly. Or even, hell, last year we had Prez, like the redo of that 70s DC series,
yes,
Prez.
Yes.
And that was, like, all fun and crazy and silly. So... I was wondering, do you think it would be a, how do I put this? Do you think it would behoove and benefit people to not just have all this serious stuff all the time? Or is the more serious part of it what makes it a better art form?
You know what, I think it's a nice combination that we're more groups are being catered to.
Okay.
Because you can get the serious stuff, you can get the little more goofy, a little more silly, and then whereas when I was a kid or a teenager, it was all, you know, this way or that way, and that was it.
Right.
So you really liked this. You liked the X-Men. You liked Superman or Batman, and you really probably didn't cross genres. You were a DC guy or a Marvel guy because
right.
They were so different. But, you know, X-Men was real and gritty and Superman and Batman were fun and cheery. And
yeah, a little more lighthearted.
Yeah, everything wrapped up in 31 pages and then moved on to the next issue.
See, I kind of miss that, you know, the days where it's just like one issue, cool. Like, that's why I liked Warren Ellis' Moon Knight series last year, because they're just like, cool, one issue story, done. Let's move on to the next thing. I'm kind of tired of waiting 6 months to see how something...
Not everything needs to be a major crossover event.
Yeah.
But that's just my personal
opinion. No, we actually, on the first one of these, the guy I was talking to, he was saying that event fatigue was the thing that was just turning him off to a lot of things. And what are your thoughts about events?
Yeah, you know, it's... If the art grabs me right away, I'm probably going to be in. You know, seeing Marquez do Civil War 2, I'm like, I'm all in.
Right.
Because I turned the first few pages and like, I didn't even know what the story was going to be. Like, I'm going for it.
Cool.
But, you know, when you had X-Men versus Avengers, and I was like, okay, I started off and then just kind of dragged, and I don't know where it went.
That one suffered from too many cooks in the kitchen. There was I think, 4 writers and, like, what, 6 artists?
I can't even tell you.
Yeah, and I mean, I thought it was really cool that they were trying to do that, like, super group of writers and super group of artists.
Right.
But it just didn't quite flow.
No, it didn't gel at all.
I mean, it should have worked a little bit.
If I don't finish buying said...
Oh, yeah.
Said saga, that to me speaks volumes.
Oh, you didn't even finish it?
I didn't finish it.
Wow. Oh, man. See, I can't do that. I'm a completist.
This is one of the first times that's actually happened, you know.
Really?
I have Secret Wars 2 in my collection.
Yeah, yeah. Secret Wars 2,
Part
2.
With the Beyonder, with
Jerry
the white suit,
Jerry
and
Curl
Jerry
Beyonder.
Curl,
and the wow,
button down to the navel.
I give you props.
Thank you, sir.
Like, I think you're the only person I know that has the entire thing. Good for you.
I'll try.
So we talked about events, but you said art is really what gets you. Like, so, like, art wise, what do you think could be done better or is doing great right now?
I love the combinations that we have. I love the Marquez and his clean lines.
Yeah.
To me, that I loved that for Civil War II. I loved it for the new Iron Man run.
Oh yeah,
for a superhero like Iron Man, that's all tech based. I thought that was a stroke of genius to get someone who draws very clean lines.
Yeah.
Very sharp, very edgy, and I thought that was perfect. If you bring in somebody else that's just a little more loose and free-flowing, you know, you bring in Hitch, it doesn't work.
Right, right.
It's less than. It's a medium that grabs you visually first and foremost in my mind. And so if I like what I see, I'm going to dive right in. If I don't, I tend to hesitate.
I just, and I know this sounds horrible, but recently I just got into the whole art aspect of it. Like, I love a good story. I'll read whatever, and the art, it really helps. But if the art's still bad, I'm just like, well, whatever, you know, I can just get the story part. But now I've been recently getting into, like, you know, the comic of comic books. You know, it's just like, it's a visual medium, just as you said. Now, like, who are your top 3 artists right now? It doesn't have to be forever, just
right.
Like right now.
Marquez, I love.
Okay. Did you come by for the signing?
I missed it.
Ah.
I was preparing for the Carrie Fisher memorial.
That was important.
So. It was. And having met Marquez before here at Awesome Books and Comics, I was like, okay, I've seen him before. I'll probably see him again.
Yeah. Oh, he used to live here, and he comes back. So.
He'll come back. So I regretted missing him, but the Carrie Fisher thing was...
It's more important.
That was something special.
To you.
Absolutely. Capullo.
Greg Capullo.
The Batman run was just...
Do you know what he started on?
Was it... It wasn't... I know he did Spawn. I don't think he started on Spawn.
His first... I could be wrong, you know, if somebody, you know, corrects me later, that's fine. But it was this Image book that I remember called The Creech.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
This book was wacky, man. It was, I believe he wrote it also, and it was about this monster that was made from cloned, aborted fetal tissue. And it was like this 10-foot tall thing. It had all these metal tentacles coming out of its head, and like, it was so freaking weird. I have it if you want to borrow it.
I think I have to read it. Now.
Yeah, it was. But like, he hasn't really changed his art style that much since those days.
No.
Like, he's been consistent, and I'm a fan of people that can like stay consistent or they adapt their artwork.
John Romita Jr.
Yeah.
I was a huge Romita fan growing up.
Mm-hmm.
I loved his Spider-Man run, loved his X-Men run. And I think he's changed enough to adapt and keep going. It's just a slight change, but it's updated a little. I like it. I know there's, from people I know, it's a love-hate kind of relationship.
Right.
Really into it or not at all. And I really like his stuff.
Yeah, well, good.
I like it quite a bit.
So those are your top three right now?
Yeah.
Okay, cool, cool, cool. Do you have any top three writers right now?
Bendis, of course.
Okay.
I loved, well, in conjunction with Capullo, Scott Snyder writing the Batman run was insane. And I like what he's doing on All-Star Batman.
Yeah, that's actually really good.
It's really good.
It's better than the other All-Star Batman.
Yes.
That was a rough book to get through.
I can't think of a third right now. Those are my top two.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine.
You know, I'm loving the Star Wars comic books.
Which ones?
Here's the thing. I'm loving the titles. I'm loving Star Wars. I loved Vader.
Oh, Vader was so great.
Honestly, I couldn't tell you the names of the artists or the writers on either book.
Star Wars, the main one right now is Jason Aaron.
Okay.
And it started off with John Cassidy. And then it kind of has like a slew of different artists that come in every once in a while. God, I cannot remember who's doing the Star Wars book right now. I know Diodato did it for a couple of issues.
Yes.
And then Vader was Karen Gillan,
The
guy who did Wicked and Divine and stuff like that. And that was Salvador LaRocca that was doing the art on that. And I love him because he can draw somebody and you're like, oh, that's who that person's supposed to be.
Yes.
Like, if he draws Han Solo, you're like, oh, that's Harrison Ford.
Yes.
And that's why I really love Salvador LaRocca. He did a book called New Universal with Warren Ellis, and you could tell, oh, he's meaning this person to look like Bruce Willis, because that's Bruce Willis. So I really love Salvador LaRocca.
It's uncanny how much he can make the likeness of a real person, but it blends perfectly into that comic medium.
And I'm kind of wondering if he, has to ask permission,
I wonder. Is that good, exactly?
Well, for Star Wars stuff, Disney and LucasArts and all that stuff, they own the likenesses of those people as those characters. But, I don't think Salvador LaRocca can draw Harrison Ford as Indiana Jones.
Probably not.
But it's only for, Star Wars, and that's it.
Yeah.
So that's something that's weird.
Let's put that as my third, a conjunction of the writers and artists that are doing Star Wars books, because they're amazing.
Well, let's get into Star Wars for a second. Let's talk some Star Wars.
As I'm wearing my Return of the Jedi t-shirt.
Return of the Jedi shirt.
Let's.
So, I was really worried about the Star Wars comics, the new ones. Tell me how you felt when you heard, Marvel's getting it back.
I love Star Wars. I love Star Wars.
I know you do.
But I was hesitant. I was nervous. I thought, okay, cash grab. I don't know. Maybe they're just going to throw somebody out there and it's going to feel like the old Star Wars comics, which I never really was a big fan of.
Mm-hmm. Like the old 70s ones or the Dark Horse?
The old 70s. I liked the Dark Horse.
Well, the old 70s one that had that green rabbit, something.
Ooh, just not good. It was all movies and no comics back then.
Can I say really quick one thing I loved about the 70s Star Wars comics?
Shoot.
Every cover was basically, this has to happen or we're all going to die. every single cover had Luke or Han or somebody just going if we don't do this, we're all dead. Or, yeah, and I was just like, well, at least they're trying to get a sense of urgency here, So, okay, so continue. Back into the modern
white noise. Yeah, when they released these new lines through Marvel, I had hesitation. But as soon as I turned those first few pages, I remember just going, oh, okay. Eyes popped open, whoa. They brought some serious talent onto this.
Mm-hmm.
They did not mess around.
Right.
And I've loved it since day one.
The thing that grabbed me the most was first page, Star Wars logo. Second page, the crawl.
The crawl.
And I was just like, oh, they know what they're doing.
They do, yes.
Yeah.
They knew exactly what they were doing.
Yeah.
And I'm sad that they're ending the Vader run, or ended the Vader run. But
I am too.
I respect that they did it, because you don't want too much. You don't want to just throw Vader out there
Well, that was the Vader story, and that's how they're eventually going to have to get to Empire,
Right.
They're going to have to, because right now everything's taking place between Star Wars and Empire.
Exactly.
So, I'll tell you, my favorite thing out of all of them,
shoot,
the Lando series.
You know, that's one series I didn't read.
You didn't read it?
No, I'm loving Solo. I'm loving Star Wars. I love Vader. I didn't get to Lando.
It's a space heist book. It's that's all it is. There's no like galaxies ending or anything.
Ooh, have we here?
It's Lando being smooth as hell. Like it opens up with him in some like queen's bedroom, like getting dressed, and she like immediately puts a gun on him. And,
okay.
Yeah, and he's just like, ooh. You know, oh, so good. And then it just turns into a giant space heist.
I'll have to get the hardcover copy on that and just read all these. How many of these?
It was just
four issues, something like that?
I think it was a five-issuer.
Something like
I think
that.
So. Yeah, it was written by Charles Soule and done. Art was done by Alex Maleev.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So it really worked out.
It's funny you should say Maleev, because didn't he do the Daredevil run with Bendis?
He did.
I remember looking at the graphic novel for that. I love Daredevil, and the art just did not grab me, and so I didn't buy it. And then it was given to me as a gift.
Mm-hmm.
My girlfriend got me, I don't know why she went with Daredevil. I never really talked to her about how much I love Daredevil, but she got it for me, and I read it, and boy, talk about a story pulling you in.
I'm so upset with myself because I waited like 6 years until after it was done, and I was like, oh, okay, fine, I'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
And like I poured through all like how many issues? 70 issues
exactly.
Of it.
Oh,
in a weekend.
That's some storytelling.
Jeez.
Oh my god.
I tell people, you know, whenever they say, oh, I really like the Netflix series, I was like, hey, Frank Miller's run is great, but if you like the series, then read Bendis' Maleev's run, because it's a crime series that just happens to have Daredevil.
Exactly.
And the main theme of it being, you know, how far can you push a man before he breaks?
Oh, it's so gritty. And then as I, after reading it, I look back and go, you know, this art works perfectly for the series.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. It's almost like a photo.
You couldn't have another, yeah, you couldn't have an, exactly. Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfectly said.
Yeah. And then did you read after that that Brubaker and...
No.
Oh, darn it. Who did the... Wasn't... Okay, so the Brubaker run after that.
No, I didn't.
Oh, man. It just picks up right after the first issue. Or the last issue of Bendis' run. And it just goes. And, like, more of the street-level heroes show up during it. Oh, yeah. Because it was setting up for the Iron Fist series, too.
Okay.
That Brubaker and Fraction did.
Nice.
So it was kind of a conjunction thing. And, oh, so good. So good. So we kind of digressed away
to the list.
We kind of digressed from the Star Wars thing, which is totally fine.
It's fine.
So what do you not like in comics right now?
You know, when I loved that when I was collecting years ago, when you had a really good artist or writer, they'd stayed on there for years.
Right.
And you had continuity, and I knew what I was getting month after month, and I loved it. And now, what kind of gets me, outside of, you know, maybe some of the major players, I'll have somebody do a run, and after a year, they're gone. You know, the artist will leave, the writer will leave. They get really good, they get a lot of pubs, so they move on to a bigger comic.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, man.
You want continuity with creative teams.
Exactly. I miss that. I miss that. You know, I grew up reading John Byrne's Fantastic Four, and that went on for years.
Yeah.
John
Byrne's
X-Men went on for years.
Or Claremont.
For years.
Years.
And just, and it, there was something comforting about that, you know? Because to me, comics as a kid, and as a teenager, and probably still now, they're an escape. You know, life is tough.
Yeah.
Life's rough, man. It beats you up. And this is a great way that every Wednesday, I get to go to the shop, and it's just, I'm there with my people.
Right.
And it's a nice escape.
It is.
And everybody is just like-minded, and we all love what we're reading and what we're, you know, the pages we're turning.
Yeah.
It just kind of helps you get till the next week.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I've had about 52 of those Wednesdays this year. Just like, oh man, I need something to make things better.
Yes, so the fatigue on the major crossover events. And then just, I wish artists would, the fact that Capullo and Snyder stayed on for Batman as long as they did.
Oh, yeah.
50, I was stunned that they stayed for 50, was it 50, 51 issues? 50?
It was 52, actually.
Man.
Yeah, 51 and a half, I guess.
I thought that was just an absolute treat.
Yeah.
And it's how, you know, great artist, great writer, number one comic in sales. That entire time, maybe, I think?
For DC, probably, yeah.
Man, I kept checking the list on sales, and they were just consistently at or near the top.
Well, they, you know, I believe that the reason why, okay, let me just start all that over. So, I'm going to admit, never been a huge Batman fan. Never.
And this interview's over. Gotta go.
Okay, so I've never been a Batman fan, but I, on a whim, I just read the first trade of that. And the reason why I read every single issue of Snyder and Capullo's run was because it was different. It wasn't just like, oh, Batman can get out of anything, no matter what. He's always on top. No, right. In the first two volumes, like, the Court of Owls beat the hell out of him.
Oh, my goodness.
And he almost didn't make it.
Yes.
And it also showed that he could get scared also.
Yes.
Like, do you remember the when they captured one of the Talons and he was dead and he was on a slab and Alfred reveals that he's there and Batman freaks out. He's like, no, I don't want to.
Yeah.
You know, he's trying to get away.
Actual fear.
That makes him more human. I was so tired for, because, you know, I was born in
80. He can beat Superman.
Yeah, I was born in 1982, so I always had, for the entirety of it, that Batman's the smartest person ever. He can always get out of anything. He's never scared. He's always got a plan. Like, you know, in certain parts of that whole series, like, you see Batman flail around.
It's
like, all of his plans don't always work.
No.
And that's why I liked it.
Yes.
And that's why I stayed on it the entire time. I mean, I could have done without the whole 0 year or whatever it was, year zero.
Where, 0 year Batman.
Where it's just like, dude, you ask a kid in French Polynesia what Batman's origin is, he can tell you.
Yes.
Like, I don't need any more origin stories.
No.
I'm kind of
origined out.
Yeah, we have Batman Year One. We have Batman Begins, the movie. We have the other Batman movie. We have every single
new
thing.
New Batman.
Oh, my God. And it's just...
It sells. It's going to keep coming.
It does keep coming. But, I mean, like, we get it, man. We know. So, anyways, that's a diatribe that I have to get onto. My main point is...
That'll be the next podcast.
My main point is that Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo did change Batman for me. They made me care again.
That was actually the longest run of Batman I'd ever purchased in my life.
Really? Do you have the whole thing?
I do.
Nice.
I do. I love it. And, I mean, I have Batman comics in my collection from the 70s, from the 80s, but just, you know, 10 issues here, 20 issues there, a few annuals.
Spots.
This is just beginning to end. And so, and I thought about it, I was like, wow, that's the longest Batman run I've ever purchased in my collecting lifetime.
You know, I'm trying to think of, like, everything that I have. Well, here's a good question, then.
What's the biggest collection I got?
What is the longest run of something you have?
Fantastic Four, John Byrne.
So, from what issue to what issue?
232, I believe, is when he started, up to when did he stop that run?
But to the end of it?
Yeah.
Okay, so is it safe to say, like, about 70 issues, maybe?
Several years.
Okay.
Years. From 8th grade to 12th grade?
So, 4 years worth. Excellent.
It's probably like the Batman run. It's like a good 4 or 5 years of solid John Byrne when he was at the top of his game and number one.
Oh, yeah.
And just, you know, he could do no wrong.
Now, let me tell you, my favorite John Byrne series, the She-Hulk run he did.
Oh, I love the She-Hulk run.
Because it really inspired my, like, and I don't know if you know this about me, I love metafiction. I love it when characters realize that they're characters in something. And She-Hulk did that so great. And she had, they had fun with it. Like, at one point, if you remember, She-Hulk, like, looks out of the page and says, really, John Byrne? I'm fighting these guys? You have all these great people fighting Fantastic Four, and you have me fighting these guys?
I don't remember that, but I do have the issue where it's Assistant Editor's Month.
Oh.
And John Byrne draws himself in the issue when Reed Richards is on trial.
Oh, that's cool.
In space with Majestrix Shi'ar, and John's drawn himself in there. And Johnny Storm looks over and he goes, Byrne, what the heck are you doing here?
Oh, see, that's so great. I love that shit.
That's one of my favorite issues. It's so great. And the Watcher's there, and he's on trial before the universe and for saving Galactus. I'm like...
I remember, yeah. You saved Galactus, and everybody's like, well, why'd you do that?
Yeah. He's not good or evil. He's beyond that.
Yeah, he's a force of nature, and that's the point of it.
Exactly.
Anyways, we're about to get into a way different subject.
Yeah, this is taking an awesome turn.
So... Okay, so that was the longest run you had.
Yes.
I think mine's Peter David's X-Factor.
Okay.
When it started being about the detective agency. Like, I have every issue of that, and man, I need to rebuy some issues because I had a roommate that spilled beer on, like, the first 20 issues of it. And it really hurt my feelings.
Ex-roommate.
Yeah. Well, he is my ex-roommate because I got married, and I don't think my wife would have liked him to hung out with us.
Probably not. Why is it like that?
So this seems like a good place to stop. We're going to pick up on some other subjects in a second, so we'll be back in just a moment for round two. Okay, guys, we are back for round two. We got another set of beers here. And now, during the break, we were talking about favorite comic book movies. So, Gil, what is your all-time favorite comic book movie?
Oh, man, it's no contest. It's Superman the movie.
Okay.
1978 in all its glory.
Margot Kidder. Gene Hackman.
Richard Donner. God bless you.
Yeah.
Talk about a faithful adaptation of a comic book come to life.
So, I think the best interpretation of a superhero character was Christopher Reeves, because he switched automatically from alter ego to superhero flawlessly. And he played each one so differently.
It was two separate parts. Yes.
Because, like, I mean, bumbling Clark Kent, stoic Superman. Mm. And I honestly think that's the reason why Lois Lane never saw the difference between the two it wasn't the same personality.
Nope.
And I mean, Chris Reeve did an amazing job. And honestly, I know this is a different movie, but the Brandon Routh version of Superman, that movie was boring as hell.
Oh, God.
Boring.
I love Superman, and it was so boring.
It was so boring. I actually, like, when I saw it in the theater, back when I was smoking cigarettes, I would just walked out and smoke a cigarette, came back, and I was like, oh, cool, they're still talking about this.
In a very dark room.
Yeah. So, I can totally understand why the first one.
Yes.
How'd you feel about Superman 2? And sub-question, did you see the Richard Donner cut, and which do you prefer?
I own the Richard Donner cut, of course.
Of course.
Saw the originals when they were in the theater and as a kid, of course, love them both. I prefer the Richard Donner cut. I wish we could have seen their actual realization.
The completed vision.
Yes. Because I'm curious how one would have ended, because him turning back time on spinning the Earth around was supposed to be the end of Superman 2.
Oh! I did not know that.
They were up against it on their budget, so they said, well, let's just finish Superman 1. We'll do the revolution of the Earth as the ending for this one. We'll worry about two later, because if this flops, there's not going to be a two.
Oh, interesting.
So that was supposed to be the end of the second one, which is why you see that in the Richard Donner cut.
Now, so, sub-question again.
I love sub-questions.
How do you feel about the crazy Superman powers that happened in part two and part one? Do you need examples?
You sense my hesitation.
Superman
S shield. I have no idea what that was.
The amnesia kiss.
No one knows what. Yeah.
Okay, so
no one knows.
I have a theory.
Shoot.
Okay, so Superman in the 40s and 50s had insane powers.
Yes, he did.
Okay, so, like, I don't know. Have you ever Googled just weird Superman powers?
I can't say that I have.
Okay, do that, and you're gonna have like 45 minutes of pure giggles, because at one point he used to be able to shoot tiny Supermen out of his hands. He called them the dwarf Supermen.
This is brand new information.
I'm 100% serious. And they would do the Superman stuff while he was Clark Kenting around. He also had super eating, where he could eat any amount of food and it wouldn't affect him physiologically at all.
You can't see me, but I'm putting my face.
Yeah,
my
he's rubbing his face. He's palm facing.
Okay.
Or face palming.
There you go.
He used to be able to, certain kryptonite would give him like a lion head or a bug antenna so he could talk to bugs. And see, I think that Richard Donner read those back in the day and he was like, oh, well, Superman can do anything, so I'm going to make the giant S shield or the amnesia kiss.
Well, now is, at that point, Richard Lester had taken over, so maybe...
Right. Maybe Richard Lester, right?
Maybe Lester something... You know what?
Maybe it was more genius than we're thinking.
I think Lester probably would have done it, because Donner was so convinced on saying, we need to make this... You know, his motto was verisimilitude. Make it seem like it's real.
Right.
Make it real.
But Superman isn't real.
Isn't real, but if you feel like it's real and you treat him like it's real, I don't think you would have done the flying S-shield, because it was silly.
Well, and this goes back to what we were talking about in the first round, was this is an escape.
Yes.
I don't need solid realism throughout the entire thing.
True.
And flying and
flies
super strength.
A helicopter,
but that's accepted fact for Superman.
Yes.
No, I want like wacky crap. I want genius Superman that makes like weird machines like the Phantom Zone projector or whatever.
That's right.
And like, oh, that'll take care of him.
I'm saving candor so when I can bring it back to full size.
He shrinks it. He has a shrunken city. I want the weird stuff. That's what I love about old DC comics, where they were just freaking weird.
It was a trip, man.
It was insane. So that's why I like both cuts of Superman 2 was just like, oh, they're bringing in the weird stuff. Okay, let's see where this goes.
Yeah.
Now, 3 and 4 were just awful.
Those that shall not be mentioned.
Yeah,
Pryor, really?
I mean, no, hey, I love me some Richard Pryor.
Oh, we love Pryor on the stage, but not next to Superman.
Yeah, I mean, I own the movie Brewster's Millions, but that is not a Superman movie, and it shouldn't be.
When I went to a Comic-Con in San Antonio 2 years ago and met Jimmy Olsen.
Oh, yeah.
And I had some questions about the movie. I was just, of course, wide-eyed and was as happy as could be. He said originally their plan was for, I believe he said, was 6 or 7 movies.
Really?
Yeah. They were going to do a slew of Superman with Richard Donner at the helm. They were supposed to do several, but because of the tension between Richard Donner and the producers,
studios.
Not the studio, the producers, just the Salkins.
Okay.
They, you know, after Superman 1 was a gigantic hit, they released him. Lester came in and finished 2, and then it all went downhill after that. I think I'm so happy that we have at least the original, the first one. That is just, to me, is a timeless classic. I don't know they'll ever make it better than that. It's even hard to compare because we don't even have newspapers anymore. It's almost like it's preserved in time.
Yeah.
That version of Superman. I wish we could have seen, and even Jimmy Olsen, I can't believe I'm forgetting his name right now.
I can remember like 8 movies he's been in that hasn't been Superman, but I can't remember his name.
I know, and I'm upset at myself for not remembering his name right
now.
It's
all good. We are drinking.
Yeah. I'm going to blame the beer. He said that, you know, he regrets that we couldn't see several movies because he goes, Donner was just a dynamic guy and full of ideas. And he goes, I think we could have been in for a treat for several wonderful movies. And it's a shame we didn't get that.
It is a shame, and I mean, it's also a shame that Christopher Reeve is no longer with us. I mean,
yeah.
But he did get to like do some other cool stuff. Like in the Smallville TV show, he showed up.
Yes.
You know, even in the wheelchair and stuff. But he was like this super genius that was helping Clark out. And I was like, okay, that's great. Fun thing, if you ever want to see a crazy Christopher Reeve movie, also starring Morgan Freeman. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I believe it's called Street Smarts,
where
he stays kind of in character, where Christopher Reeve plays a newspaper reporter that fakes a story about a pimp, and Morgan Freeman, like, decides to be the pimp and, like, be the guy for the story, and then they go on this, like, crazy...
Wacky adventures?
No, not wacky adventures. My favorite part of the entire thing is... Christopher Reeve is driving this car, this, like, 80s giant boat of a car.
Of course.
And Morgan Freeman, who is a pimp in the movie, but he brings in one of his girls, and the girl is sitting between Christopher Reeve and Morgan Freeman, and Morgan Freeman's drinking a Yoo-Hoo bottle. And he breaks the Yoo-Hoo bottle on the dash and, like, threatens this girl and Christopher Reeves with Yoo-Hoo.
Oh,
and I like the entire time
just
I'm
just hearing about this.
The entire time I'm watching, I'm laughing my butt off.
Oh,
so just everybody listening, as well as Gil, needs to check out this movie. I believe it's called Street Smarts.
Yeah, I think we have to see it.
It's rough. It's a rough movie, but it's worth it.
I mean, he did do Somewhere in Time, which can we go there? I love that movie.
Yeah, you can, man. We're talking about whatever you want to talk about.
Yeah. Oh man, just. It's a shame that he passed away. Getting to meet Margot Kidder at Comic-Con this year was... I cannot tell you how exciting that was.
Right.
Showing up in the classic Superman costume. I purchased a tiny little helicopter and painted it red and white and black to match the one on the
Oh, and y'all both hung from it. I saw that picture.
And when I walked into her booth to get the picture, I was nervous because I didn't get a chance to talk to her beforehand or the handlers. Because sometimes, you know, you can bring a prop and sometimes
right.
you can't.
Right.
I'm in my suit, which I just borrowed from a friend, and I loved it. And I had I'm holding this tiny little helicopter. And she looked at me, and she points. She goes, "Oh, you're wearing the classic suit." And she had this sigh emanating from her. And then she pointed at my hand. She goes, "Oh my God, you have a tiny little helicopter!" She pulls it out of my hand. I looked at her. I said, "It's the best scene in the movie." She yanks it out of my hand. She goes, "Let's do this." And she holds it up in the air. And she goes, "Hold me." the level of excitement.
Such an embrace.
An 8-year-old boy and now a 46-year-old man. Worlds were colliding. I'm not going to say I fainted, but if I was ever going to faint, that
would be the
closest
moment
I ever got.
So, this is something I wanted to talk to you about. You cosplay,
yes,
for conventions.
Yes.
So, talk to me about that. You're the first person I've talked to about the cosplay stuff, so go for it.
Okay,
how'd you get into it? What?
Good question. Wizard World came to town here in Austin 5-6 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 7, jeez. And I remember reading, I think I heard an advertisement on the radio, and so I went to the website and looked it up, and the stars they had, I mean, it was the first one here, and they had a cavalcade of stars. Can I say cavalcade?
You can say cavalcade. You can say whatever you want.
I don't think it's used enough.
Just don't use the F word. This is PG-13.
Roger that.
or two. I don't care.
They had, Lou Ferrigno, they had Lee Majors.
And Lee Majors,
and
really?
The Bionic Woman, and Oscar Goldman, the boss,
really?
Was here.
There's some Oscar there?
Yes, Oscar was here.
One of the most useless action figures ever.
Ever, but much more valuable than the $6 million.
Mm-hmm.
Of course. Ray Park from Star Wars, Chewbacca was here, I believe. It was just this old...
You can say cavalcade.
cavalcade of stars from my youth.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, I kind of want to go see that. And I remember taking Friday afternoon off work and going down, and I went and sat in a room with 50 other people, and Lou Ferrigno walks out into the room, and I'm just I'm like, that's Big Lou! And I grew up watching
did
the
Incredible
Hulk.
Did you yell Big Lou?
Inside I did.
Ah, you should have yelled Big Lou, man. That would have been great.
Opportunities missed.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there, and I grew up watching the Incredible Hulk TV show, like the rest of America.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just stunned, and he was so engaging and entertaining, and he talked about the movie, and someone asked him about Bill Bixby, and he was so reverential towards Bill Bixby, and said, and you could see how much he still missed him to this day.
Oh, he was a great actor.
That guy meant a lot to him. Like, it prepared him for his career.
Yeah.
Meeting Bill Bixby.
It kind of gave him a career.
Yeah.
Lou Ferrigno.
I mean,
he was a bodybuilder, but I mean, like...
Yeah, that it entered career, too. And so I sat there, and I was just amazed at how fun this was, and I remember seeing my first cosplayer there, who's actually a local guy.
Okay.
He was dressed in Cosmic Boy.
Really? From Legion of Superheroes?
Yes. The pink and the black.
Wow.
And looked amazing.
Rocked out the pink costume.
Yes. And I said...
I give props.
I stopped and just pointed at him and stared. I was like, oh my God. He goes, are you Cosmic? He goes, yes, I am. And I took a picture, and then I noticed, looked around, and I saw a few other cosplayers. I saw, you know, your Batmans, your whatnot, your basics. I was like, This is really cool. I kind of want to do this. And so I went to the local costume shop, and I rented a Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Are you talking Lucy's?
Yes.
Okay.
Lucy's.
We're not going to say the full name.
Lucy's.
Yes.
And went to...
It's all good.
I rented the Obi-Wan Kenobi animated Clone Wars costume.
Okay.
Oh, and all cosplayers, myself included, the pictures of our first costumes, oh, they're... When you have the fake boots over your tennis shoes.
Oh, yeah.
And,
I know what you're talking about.
And the fake belt that wraps around.
I call that... I call that 7-year-old trick-or-treating,
yeah,
boots, because I did have those.
Yes.
Do you remember...
Yes.
I mean, you're a little bit older than me,
yes,
but... Do you remember the costumes they made for kids in the 80s, where it's like the vinyl pants that just rested upon the shoes?
The little sweat costumes that they made you wear?
Oh, I called them...
You can't see out of?
Yeah, those were the... With the little slit in the mask,
yes,
that would always cut your tongue.
So you don't die.
Yes. But they never really worried about suffocating yourself in these vinyl costumes.
God, no.
Yeah.
No.
No, but you got to be able to breathe them.
Yes.
Yeah, I had a Silverhawks one that was awesome. back in the day.
Yes.
So that was your first one? Cosplay?
That was
Obi-Wan.
My first one. I rented that Obi-Wan.
Okay.
And I actually got stopped to take pictures with kids.
Well, that was fun.
And other adults. And it was just, this world just opened up. When I had dads coming up to me and said, hey, can my kid take a picture with you? Because I did have the legit lightsaber. I did have the Obi-Wan.
Okay.
Nice, heavy, you know, deluxe.
Like
metal.
The over $25 version?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Way over $25. So I had that. It kind of helped. And I saw them. I was like, oh my goodness. And stopped to take pictures of with. It was
it's like being, for one moment in time, it's like being a mini celebrity.
Yes.
Where people are just like, and it's a grand unifier also.
Oh,
I think
yes,
it is.
Absolutely.
I mean, I've been to a lot of comic conventions,
uh-huh,
and like, even if the costume isn't that great, even if it's purposely cheesy,
yes.
everybody is just like, hey, that's really
that's
cool.
Awesome.
You know, like.
Yes. It is. It's a great unifier. It levels the playing field.
Well, and that's one reason that I love comics so much and pop culture like it is, because it doesn't matter. We're all on the same team.
Yeah.
You know, we can argue about little things to a certain extent. There are some jerks
big
in
things,
the,
sure.
Yeah, you know, there's some jerks in the pop culture,
of course,
sphere.
Sure,
you know, but most everybody's just like
you just unfriend them and move on.
Yeah, like jock or nerd or you know. 1980s businessman, we're all on the same team.
Exactly.
We all like the same
we
stuff.
Love this stuff.
I mean, you know, and this brings up, you know, like, I would have never met you if you didn't come into the shop.
No, never.
And
never.
I consider us friends.
Absolutely.
It's cool if you don't.
Cheers.
Yes, to you and yours.
Workplace associates?
Yes. So, okay, so we talked about Superman, we talked about a little bit about cosplay. Now, my question for everybody that has cosplay, drink. Delicious. I switched over to the Hans Pils because it is delicious.
Yes, Pils.
If you had, let's say, I'm not going to say unlimited budget. I'm going to say budget of $2,000.
Okay.
What cosplay would you go for?
Ooh. Well, you know, that's a really good question. Getting to wear the Superman costume last year, the classic Christopher Reeve.
Correct.
Was a dream come true.
Good.
I borrowed that, so I had to give it back.
Yeah.
I would probably have to get that. But outside of that, Sand Trooper.
Sand Trooper? Really?
I love the Sand Trooper.
Really?
Yes.
Combing the desert and everything.
Combing the desert.
Look, sir, droids.
Found a thing. That just is one of the coolest costumes I think I've seen. But, man, it looks miserably hot and so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So that would be something that... A $2,000 budget would be great because I can buy that and just wear it and then store it.
Yeah.
Or stand it up in my house. I think that would be so
good. Have a creepy sentry outside of your front door.
Yes.
Like directly in front of your front door. So
right
if somebody is breaking in, they just see that.
Yes.
And they run away.
Of course.
One of the best costumes I've seen, and it's just so adorable, and if I had the amount of money, it was this guy wearing an alien's power loader.
Oh!
And he put his baby, his like toddler, in the front of it, so and dressed it as Ripley.
Man.
And so he was just walking around, and this baby obviously has no idea what's going on.
None.
But he even had the spinning light up front and all this stuff.
Oh, the spinning light!
Oh, it had everything. And I was just
it's
like
the details, man. It's the details.
I was like, that is a good parent. That is what should happen.
And that's parenting at its finest.
The only other really good one that, like, to memory that I'm just like, geez, whoever helped this kid out with this is amazing. It was this paraplegic kid who they made this rig for his motorized wheelchair to where he's standing up.
Nice.
And it was Mad Max.
Oh!
Dude.
Oh.
It was so awesome. I was just like, this kid is the most badass kid
that's
I've ever
win.
Seen.
For everybody.
Yeah. And, like, you could see the kid is smiling the entire
Tim,
time.
Him, the family, the congoers, everybody
beaming.
Wins.
He's
yeah.
so happy.
You know, it's funny. You should see that. I take my girlfriend's kiddo to the conventions, and we both dress up together. And
oh, is that the little Padawan?
My Padawan, yes. Yes, I'll do my Obi-Wan Kenobi, and she'll do Ahsoka Tano.
Nice.
So the Padawan of my Padawan.
Yes.
And...
Dub pads, as I call it.
Yeah, of course. And we do the orange paint, the airbrush, the whole bit, and people lose their minds. And she... Talk about a confidence builder.
Oh, yeah.
She's 11 now. We've gotten up on the stage in front of 1,000 people. And
You showed me pictures,
yeah.
and it, like, she's
and the,
killing.
And the music's going, and the DJ's going, and the people are screaming and cheering, and she gets into it, and we were walking down the streets to the convention, and adult... men who are Star Wars fans like you and I stop and point and scream at her.
Nice.
And go, oh my god, and they just she's this kid. So for whoever's listening out there, take your kids to cosplay.
Oh yeah,
dress them up.
Well,
and they're a job interview at 16 is gonna be a piece of cake.
So me and my wife, we're gonna have kids one day someday.
Is this an announcement? Is this a
no people
congratulations,
we're married and we've you know been married for a while, we might have kids.
Okay.
Newsflash. But I'm thinking about doing that. I have two ideas. It's either going to be the power loader, and that's going to steal somebody's
yes.
idea. Or...
That's okay.
I'm thinking about dressing up as an alien queen and making an egg for the kid to sit in and give him the tarantula face of a face hugger. And they'll just pop out every once in a while. And I'll just carry it around and be like, ah!
Dad of the year.
Yeah, I think that's one of my ideas. That's one of my ideas.
I think it's an excellent idea.
But, you know, money.
Here's to drinking.
Yeah, and there's to that.
Cheers.
So, let's see, what time are we at? We're a good 45 minutes. We're going to keep going, if that's okay with you. I don't want to stop.
Absolutely.
I like talking to you and stuff. Let's think. There's a question that I had for you. It was the, how do we start on this? We start with favorite superhero movie, which was Superman
the movie.
Here's a good
naturally
question. Well, I love the original Superman and Superman 2.
Yes.
And during the break, we were talking about in defense of Batman versus Superman.
Correct.
The DC Cinematic Universe. And I'm excluding the Christopher Nolan Batmans.
Yes.
Because that took place on its own thing.
Love them.
They were great.
Yes.
Part 3,
All right. 1 and 2.
I get what they're doing.
Amazing.
Well, the second one, Dark Knight, was
My mouth
gorgeous.
Was agape.
Yeah.
At the theater.
Oh, I watched it with my older brother, and we're just sitting there, and we're acting like we were when we saw the first Batman Tim Burton movie.
Yes.
We're just like, oh my God.
Yes. What is this?
So,
well, I mean, for the Joker to win the Academy Award.
Posthumously.
He won an Academy Award for Batman.
Well, I mean, like, if you look at Heath Ledger and all the characters he played beforehand, and then what he did for this.
You take a character that's, what, almost 70 years old and completely reinvent
and
it?
And reinvent it and make it way better.
And make it incredibly scary.
Yeah.
Or you did not know what was coming at you.
Yeah.
That was wonderful.
Well, and just my favorite thing about it, and I'm going to give credit to Hans Zimmer, the
music guy. I like that.
I'm sorry.
Composer?
Music director? Composer? The dude?
The music guy.
He was there. I'm sleepy, man. Leave me be.
It's the beer.
No, it's usually not. Is this my third? Yeah, it is. Okay, so I was listening to the commentary, and the way that Hans Zimmer described when the Joker should appear is like a razor blade on piano wire.
Yes.
And I'm like, that's genius.
Yes, absolute
that is
genius.
The most genius thing I've ever heard.
Because it's slightly terrifying.
Well, and it fits what the Joker is. He's a piano wire for me,
yes.
Classical instrument, razor blade on it, the danger to it.
Yes.
And
it's creepy,
so awesome.
It's eerie, it's terrifying. It's the Joker. As it should be.
And every time I was watching in the theater, whenever the Joker showed up, I was like, everybody shut up, we're going to talk right now.
Yeah.
We're going to have a discussion with the Joker about why we should be scared of him.
Oh.
And the pencil disappearing trick was amazing.
Oh my God. Oh. You know what, when he's hanging out of the police car, and that police car is weaving left and right,
oh, yeah.
And the sound kind of goes down in the movie.
The siren gets a little quieter, yeah.
And you just see him, and his hair's matted and waving in the wind, and like I remember at that point going, what am I watching? I'm not watching the superhero movie. I'm watching
no.
a movie
yeah.
that just happens to have some superheroes in it.
Yeah.
I'm watching a masterpiece
yeah.
of cinema.
It was
I was completely blown away by that.
Well, let's talk about other movies as well that we think is really good. I honestly...
Green Lantern, is that where you're going?
Man, wow. You just threw that in my face. I've seen the Green Lantern movie 3 times. Because each time...
Is it bad to say that I own it?
No, that's not at all.
Okay, thank you.
I actually own a lot of... really not great superhero movies. I own Howard the Duck, which is a good movie. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what anybody says.
Malay.
Yeah.
Do you have a cavalcade of movies?
The which ones?
A cavalcade of movies?
I would say I would have a plethora.
Plethora?
Yes.
Of movies?
I have a plethora of superhero movies and pinatas. Thank you, Three Amigos. Don't Kill the Invisible Swordsman.
Up, shoot up.
So if anybody hasn't seen Three Amigos...
Spoiler alert.
The Invisible Swordsman, something bad happens. So I'm going to go through the ones that surprised me the most, both good and bad.
Go for it.
I think Ant-Man is one of the best Marvel movies.
Heist movie.
It's a heist movie. That's the entire point of it.
I love they didn't go big.
Yeah.
They went... Smaller. I didn't even catch myself doing that.
What color of that paint did you paint yourself in that corner with?
I don't know.
But that was a great movie. It was fun. The soundtrack was all, like, lively.
They keep taking chances, and it keeps working.
Okay, so talking about taking chances, I'll get to my whole surprising thing in a minute. Doctor Strange, what did you think?
Oh, I completely enjoyed it.
I loved it.
And you know why? Because I put Doctor Strange in the same category in terms of movies as Thor. That's a movie that can go off the rails so easily from the content.
And it should.
We have a rainbow bridge. What? Really?
Yeah, good.
And they made it look awesome.
Yes, they did.
And Doctor Strange can go off the rails. It's magic. It's sorcery. It can go bad in a hurry if they're not careful.
It has gone bad in a hurry.
Exactly. And they made it fantastic.
But this one, I think the casting was great.
He looked like the comic. When you look like the comic come to life.
Yes.
You're doing something right.
So, I can't say his name. Chiwetel Ejiofor? The guy who played
Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I see it on paper, and I'm just like, I can't make this work.
Right.
I thought he was such a good Baron Mordo because that actor, he has the uncanny ability to act like he believes with absolute certainty.
Yes.
And that's what Baron Mordo is. He believes with absolute certainty that he should be the Sorcerer Supreme.
Yes. Yes.
You saw the Serenity movie, the Firefly movie.
Yes.
He believed 100% what he was doing was necessary, not right, but it needed to happen. Right. And that's why I think he was great.
Those are the best villains.
Yeah.
That's Loki.
The only thing that I really wanted out of the Doctor Strange movie was Wong, who's been in the comics since the beginning.
Right.
He, had 3 lines?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was just like, oh, okay, well.
It's tough. I mean, and I think it's because you're bringing it to the larger audience that really doesn't know Doctor Strange.
Well, that's true.
You know, we know Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
You know when they cast Benedict Cumberbatch, it's like, okay, you're bringing in an A-lister.
Yes.
Which is going to get non-comic people into the screen, into the theater.
Right.
So I you probably can't divert too much into the lore of the story because you might lose people there. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess. You know? Well, I mean, they diverted so much already. I mean, look, I think Tilda Swinton, I'm not going to lie, and I've told my wife this, so maybe I'll say it again.
Repeat.
She is both creepy and sexually attractive at the same time. And my wife, when I said that, my wife was like, yeah, she is. So, but that makes a great ancient one.
Yes.
It's just like, it's an ethereal on Earth being that's just like weird. But yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad we both agree about
this. Yes, highly.
Also, here's a really fun fact. The female lead, what's her name?
I see her in my mind.
She was in The Notebook, Wedding Crashers. She was in Mean Girls.
Do we take a break and look it up?
Okay, yeah, we're going to take a break and we're going to look this up. So I'm going to pause for a second. Oh, wait, you got your phone right there. We can just talk while you're looking this up.
Absolutely.
As soon as you say it, I'm just going to punch myself in the face.
I know, we both know her name.
Yeah, it's not Claire. It's...
Isn't?
No, it's not.
Claire was in her name in the movie, in Wedding Crashers.
Yeah, it's
See if you can
Rachel McAdams.
Boom!
Okay, so Rachel McAdams, her character...
Who needs technology?
There was actually a Marvel series about night nurses, like the night nurse in Daredevil.
Right.
She was one of them.
Really?
Yeah, that was her character. She was... I was like, oh, they brought in this weird new character. And then I did some research. I was like, no, she's been in Marvel Comics since the 60s.
Right.
They just threw her in there, and it worked so well.
Even us hardcore, sometimes they throw stuff in there we're not.
Man, that's what I love. And apparently, actually, I'm not going to go into Guardians of the Galaxy because there's way too many.
That's another podcast.
Easter eggs.
All together.
Which I'm going to say is probably my favorite superhero movie.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
It brought in this wonderment that you talked about with Superman.
I still see it like an 8-year-old kid.
Yeah, so Guardians of the Galaxy for me, I was just like, oh my god. They brought in all this insane weirdness.
Yes.
I mean, I want everybody to think about, there's a talking tree man.
And a raccoon.
And a talking raccoon.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody takes it seriously throughout the entire time. And at the end of the movie, we all take it seriously.
And it works.
Yes.
And we're finally getting Wonder Woman. So I'm glad we got the talking raccoon before we got Wonder Woman.
Oh, well, okay. No, yeah, okay. But the Wonder Woman movie, dude, I'm stoked.
I can't wait.
Oh.
I'm completely excited.
Like, I am... You know why I like Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman?
Shoot.
Plays her as a... with a Greek accent.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
I absolutely love that.
That makes 100% sense
I
for me.
I love it.
Yeah. Because...
Yeah, she's not from...
She's not from, you know, Jersey.
Chicago.
Yeah, she's not from, you know, Western Montana.
Dallas. No.
No, she's from a Greek isle.
She should have an accent.
Why has she never had one before? I mean, Linda Carter, I think, are great, but should have had a Greek accent.
My first love.
Really? Oh, man.
Linda Carter. Yeah. Can we go before that and go Mighty Isis?
You can go Mighty Isis. That's fine.
Mighty Isis is when I was a kid, and I didn't know what I was watching, but I knew feelings were happening.
Yeah?
And then Linda Carter came along, and feelings really happened.
Honestly, me? This is going to sound weird. Pam Grier.
Really?
Yeah.
Don't worry about that, sir.
Yeah, Pam Grier and Tina Turner.
To Pam Grier.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up watching blaxploitation movies, because they're awesome. I don't care what anybody... I still watch them. I'm going to watch Candy Tangerine Man when I get home, because I have never seen it.
Yeah,
but, like, yes, I am. I think we've diverged a little far.
Really?
But that's fine.
Really
that's,
fun way.
That's the point of this. Is yes. Like, we start talking comics, we can talk whatever we want.
These are comic-related issues.
Yes.
Sir.
Very much so. Sir. Pardon me. Excuse. So this is a good part to pause for round two. We're going to go to round three in just a minute. So thank you guys very much. We'll be back in just a moment. So we're back, and it is now round three. So now we're going to get a little more loosey-goosey than we have been, at least subject-wise.
More loosey-goosey.
Yeah, we've been I've been having a blast. Thank you very much for joining me, Gil.
I'm having a wonderful time.
So you brought up a good question, print or digital. I am of the opinion that I will always want print. I need to hold it in my hands. I need to own it physically. What about you?
I could not agree more.
Yeah.
I need to hold it. I need to... smell it.
Yes.
I need to...
The comic smell. Not a lot of people...
Yes. There's a comic smell.
Yes.
I can open up issue, 12 of Alpha Flight. Guardian dies. Spoiler alert.
Yes.
And I can smell it.
Yeah.
And hold it. And it's amazing. And it looks great. And you know what? Stan Lee has signed my issue 252. You asked me what my first comic I ever bought.
Yeah.
That was the one I remember my mom purchasing. The one I bought with my own money. My own 50 cents.
Yeah.
Was Spider-Man 252.
Yeah.
And Spider-Man's arm's coming out of the water, and Stan Lee has signed Spider-Man's arm.
Mm-hmm.
Spider-Man's holding that Hobgoblin mask. I own that. I
nice.
Can look at it. Not that I would take it out of the glass case I have it in, but,
right.
You know, I love going back and looking at my old comics. You know, it's the old paper, it's the old ink, it's just, you can't get that on digital.
And they were, honestly, they were better made then than they are now.
I think so.
Now certain comics, if you hold them too long, your fingerprints get in there and it smudges.
Yeah.
I hate that so much. And I love the newspaper print on the inside.
I do too.
Miss that so
much. I got
much.
Comics that are 30 years old and I adore them.
Yeah. Like, it just bothers me that, and I understand why they're doing it, because print quality, it costs more money.
Yes.
But damn it. I mean... I don't want to hold a comic for more than 20 minutes and then like, oh, it's ruined now.
Ruined.
Because
ruined.
I actually have this really great balancing system with my thumbnail and my stomach where I'd balance it on my thumb and my stomach and I'm like quickly turning the pages. And it looks ridiculous. I might have to film it just to show
you. I think you need to.
Yeah, it might need to happen now. So here's one thing I always ask everybody. You get a choice. But you can only get one at a time.
Okay.
Top three superpowers you would have.
Oh, man.
Everybody should know this about themselves. Like, what's your favorite dinosaur?
T-Rex.
Okay, so you know that about yourself. What are your top three superpowers?
Well, you gotta fly.
Really?
You have to fly.
Okay. Gotta fly.
You get the bird's eye view, you're the freedom.
Okay.
You gotta fly.
It would make working in Austin way easier.
Much easier. The super strength is amazing.
Super strength?
Can I just say Superman powers? Is that...
No, that doesn't count, because he has, like, according to 60s and 50s comics, he has a billion of them.
Yeah. You gotta fly, you gotta have the strength. I don't know. That.
Really? You don't? Man, I got like...
I'm kind of lost in my Superman lore
like,
right now.
I got like 47 of them locked in the bank. I'm ready.
I guess we'll throw Speed in there. Speed's great.
Speed.
I love the Flash.
Now, okay, well, see, and I asked this of my first podcast interview, Speed Jose. Do you want Barry Allen's Speed powers, or do you want Quicksilver's Speed powers? Because Quicksilver experiences time differently. He, like, has to... Peter David did this really great issue of why Quicksilver is kind of a dick. Mm. And it's because he said that everybody, his whole life is standing behind somebody at an ATM who doesn't know how it works. Everything is going too slow for him. Now, it works in his favor sometimes when he needs to come up with strategy.
Got it.
But it also is a detriment. Now, I've always believed that Barry Allen experiences most everything when he's not using his powers as regular time.
But
Quicksilver
is
always experiencing things fast.
Oh, that is, I didn't realize that.
So, which one is it? You would be able to think on your feet better if you're Quicksilver.
Right.
But you're only able to think quickly when you're using your speed powers like Barry Allen.
So, I think Barry Allen.
More Barry Allen?
I think I'd go Barry Allen.
Okay.
Because I remember an issue where Fantastic Four, where they had to...
Which Barry Allen is prominently featured in.
Quicksilver has to run to get the help of Reed Richards, and he runs from the Himalayas to New York, and it takes him the better part of a week to get there.
Okay.
And he's exhausted, and he's like, why didn't you just teleport? And he goes, because, you know, Medusa wouldn't leave, the dog wouldn't leave Medusa's side.
Oh, yeah, Lockjaw.
Right, thank you. Whereas Barry Allen's there in a blink of an eye.
Okay. Now, this...
So for sheer speed...
Since you brought up Lockjaw, here's another really interesting question that I want people's opinions on.
Will that be my next costume? Yes.
Yeah, nice. I'll be the tail end. It's cool. I'm there for support for you, buddy. So... Here's the thing about Lockjaw that I've always thought. Lockjaw is part of the Inhumans.
Yes.
Okay. And he's a dog.
Does he have it rough? Yes.
We
went there.
My question is, was he a human that took the Terrigen Crystal Mist and turned into a dog, and now he's a dumb dog that can teleport? Or was he always a dog that got the Terrigen and became a giant dog that could teleport? Because if he was a human that turned into a dog that could teleport, that's a tragic tale.
That sucks.
Yeah. I mean, everybody loves him and stuff, but he's a dog now that can teleport. So what's your opinion on that?
I think we're going to go with the second one.
He was a dog that just happens to be able to teleport.
Yes.
Man.
Like He-Man's tiger that turned from scaredy cat tiger to awesome tiger.
Oh, you mean Cringer and Battle Cat? Yes. I will give you $5.
I am at the right podcast.
I will give you $5 right now if you know the name of Skeletor's battle cat. And you're going to kick yourself in the butt if you don't know this.
Skeletor's battle
cat. I want you to think about...
I'm thinking right now.
Every He-Man character with the most obvious names ever.
Right.
$5.
And we're looking for the name of his...
Of his battle feline steed.
It's going to be something so obvious and I'm...
Oh, it's going to be obvious and you're going to hate yourself.
Do I have to give you the $5 because I don't know this?
No, not at all.
Okay. Some intimidation.
Oh, this is going to be great when you find out what this is.
I wish you could see this out there. My face is...
Furrowed brows are happening, looking forlornly out the window as if answers are out there.
And none are coming.
But there are no answers.
None, just
because
beer.
Because Skeletor is not out there.
Lay it on me.
Panthor.
I knew that!
Everybody?
Drink.
That's He-Man's universe. Okay, we're gonna have a drink really quick. One, two, three.
Panthor. You can't remember everything.
No, you can't.
You can't.
No, you can't. I mean, and you know what? I really love our encyclopedic knowledge of everything that we do have.
Yes.
I mean, but you can't, like, I forgot algebra. You know, I have no idea what, how to do anything. But, man, you ask me anything comic book related, and I'm like, yeah, I think I know the answer
I'm
to that.
I'm Jeopardy champion.
Yeah.
Except for Panthor.
Well, I mean, it was a cartoon before a comic, so that's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay, buddy.
Excellent.
You corrected me on Apache Chief.
Yeah.
So, and I should know that.
We're
I
right
should
there.
Know that.
We're right there.
Yeah. But it's a teamwork game. And that's the point.
It's a teamwork.
So anything else you want to talk about? Anything you think would be cool?
I mean, how long are we gonna keep collecting? The rest of our lives?
I'm not gonna stop. I
took a break in college.
I did take a break
because
in college.
Because I had to study and get an education and
okay,
make
here's
money.
Here's a great question.
And then I came back.
What brought you back in? Which series brought you back in?
Ooh, that's a real good question. You know, I know
exactly which one brought me back
in. I'm a little blurry. I can't remember exactly what brought me back in.
Mine was Astonishing X-Men issue number 4, because that's when Colossus came back to life, and he was always my favorite superhero.
Nice.
Yeah. I was at a Hastings in San Marcos, and I saw an issue of a Silver Hand punching out of an X-Men issue. I was like, Colossus has been dead since, like, 1999. What's happening here? And I opened it up. I was like, crap, I'm back. And now I'm a sales manager of a comic shop.
Hey, you're really back.
Yeah, I'm really back in.
You know, it's kind of funny, because I don't remember exactly stopping, and I don't remember where I restarted, but
I think I ended at some point in the 90s X-Men where I was just like, yeah, I'm playing drums now and girls are pretty. And
girls are pretty and smell good.
Yeah. And now they're interested in me because I'm not fat with acne and a bowl cut. Guys, I might one day put a picture on this where you can see just how rough it was.
How magnificent.
Oh, man. You want to talk about, like, the Adonis of dork? This is what I was pulling off. It was awesome.
I think when McFarlane phased out of Spider-Man, I slowly started phasing out there because, again, college.
Yes.
And that took up a little bit of time. Got the career going, made the money, and now you need to have a career and make money to buy the comics.
Correct.
They're not 50 cents anymore.
Right.
But yeah, I can't remember exactly what. Maybe it was the 7 years ago going to the con, kind of.
That kind of rebooted it?
I think so. I saw all the comics up on the on display, and I saw that I owned half of them already in my collection. I was you know, the Judas Contract Teen Titans.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Spider-Man 251, 252, the new costume. I was like, okay, I have all those, and I love them, and look at all these great costumes. And I think it just kind of pulled me back into the store and, you know, kind of started going back in again. And I'm probably buying more DC. I was exclusively Marvel before.
Yeah.
Spider-Man was my
That's
starter.
Your jam?
That was my jam.
Okay, so I thought we were wrapping up, but no, you just opened up a new can of worms.
A whole new can.
Okay, so I love all the ancillary Spider-Man characters right now.
Yes.
Like Spider-Man 2099, I think that book has been doing great. Miles Morales Spider-Man's been awesome. Spider-Woman, that has been a great series going
on. What was the series where Spider-Man and Dr. Octopus switched?
Superior Spider-Man.
Oh my god.
That was really good because
I loved.
But I'm just I'm so done with Peter Parker. I mean, it's
I'm not buying any Spider-Man right now. And that pains me because I love Spider-Man.
And it bothers me because, like, he's a seminal character, but it's just, here's the three Spider-Man stories. Down on his luck, Peter Parker. Everything's going great, Peter Parker. Or, like, some horrible thing that is happening.
To Peter Parker.
And those are the three stories.
Yeah.
I mean, like, oh no, Aunt May's shot again. Or, oh no, he's broke again. Or, oh man, well, and right now, the Amazing Spider-Man series is, he's Tony Stark.
He's Tony Stark.
Okay. Like, no, the reason why I love the Miles Morales series is he's just this kid that's trying to be better. But, like, the reason why I loved Peter Parker was he was a loser.
Yes.
And being Spider-Man got away from being a loser. Yeah. Yes. Which is the wish fulfillment of every single kid.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
Now he's not that. And I'm all about characters evolving and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm all about that.
He's not going to Tosche Station to pick up power converters.
No, he's not. Or drinking blue milk.
Mixing genres, I love it.
But, I mean, now he's just like, he's doing really good for himself, and it's just like, but that's not Peter Parker. It's...
Dare we say reboot?
No, let's not say that. We've had too many. One. Sorry. Actually, do you want to be on this for half a second? Okay, so we've had this really awesome waitress. We're at the Flying Saucer right now. She has been very gracious in letting us record here, and also, like a ninja, getting us new beers.
Quiet.
What's your name?
Katie.
What?
Katie.
This is Katie, and she's doing awesome. So if you ever come to the Flying Saucer, ask for Katie, and tip her a whole lot.
A lot.
Because she is awesome, like a ninja in the night. So,
thank you, Katie.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Katie. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
This is actually the first recording that I've ever done at a bar. It's usually at people's houses.
This seems natural.
This seems a little more natural, because if I said, hey, Gil, you want to go grab a drink, this is what we'd be talking about anyways.
It really would.
Yeah. So, and I don't know, is this a good place to stop, or do you have anything else?
I think we're pretty good.
Are you good?
We've covered the movies, we've covered the cosplay, we've covered the medium, digital.
We covered superpowers if you wanted them.
Print better than digital?
Yes, print is better than digital.
Don't, let's see, miss artists staying on, artists might have stayed on for long periods of time versus being switched around.
Correct.
But by God, you know, I still love the medium. I love it so much.
You know, I love comics so much.
So much.
And I mean, not in a, like, obsessive way, but it is a part of my life.
Yeah.
This is a part of my life. And I know it's a part of yours.
I have Luke Skywalker bumper sticker on my car.
Yeah. And I mean, like, you do such great cosplay.
Thank you.
In a minute, I'm going to say, hey, you can follow Gil at blah, blah, blah. But he has so many great pictures. My favorite picture of you is the Superman pulling the shirt
with the tie up in the air.
The tie askew by the wind.
I get more comments on that costume.
It's great,
man. And it
took
10 minutes.
All I need you to do is hold a pair of glasses in your hands.
Yes.
Like, between two fingers, like you're ripping up your shirt like that.
Oh, I have that picture.
Oh, you do have that picture. Okay, I didn't see that one.
I'm pretty proud of my Peter Parker on the subject of Spider-Man.
Oh, the half face?
I do love my
Peter
Parker.
Oh, my God, that is so great.
Cosplay, which is half going back to old school Spider-Man.
Correct.
60s. With half the face is Spider-Man, half the face is Peter Parker with the glasses, and I have my spider sense.
Yes.
And the camera, and I have the ID badge that says Peter Parker with my picture on it.
Yes.
I mean, Kinko's, thank you very much.
Thank you, Kinko's.
And the backpack with my spider suit hanging out of the back of it.
Ah, that's so good.
And the fact that I have my picture with Stan Lee
doing that.
In that costume. If my house starts to burn to the ground,
that's what you're grabbing?
I'm grabbing that.
Man.
And running out to
see, and this is another good question that I'm going to ask people from now on. Like, if your house is on fire, what collectible are you going to grab?
What part of your fandom do you grab?
That's what you're grabbing.
Yes.
Oh,
I'd have to say so. Fortunately, we have everything on the cloud, but, you know, in a moment of panic.
Oh, yeah.
I'm grabbing that and running.
Man, what would I grab? I would probably grab...
Because I can't grab all my Star Wars action figures and... No. Can I make a tie?
Oh, please.
Or supersede that?
You have big arms. You can grab...
Thank you.
You can have, like, grab, like, seven things.
My original Darth Vader 1977 with telescoping lightsaber.
Telescoping, really?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Have it.
Not a lot of people have those.
No. I have it.
That's nice.
Thank you.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Yes, that has to come with me.
Damn it, now you brought up Darth Vader. Okay, so... I personally think that all of the Star Wars movies, at least the first six, was about Darth Vader. All of them. Every single one of them.
It's the Skywalker saga. Yes.
Okay, so you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. Now, except for part two, because that movie sucked.
Oh, we shall not speak of it.
Yeah. I mean, first one also sucked. Revenge of the Sith.
Well, you get the Duel of the Fates, which is music that is wonderful.
Okay.
And you get the fight scene at the end, which is amazing.
If I can have
but
probably
it's parts of movies.
If I could probably have like 12 minutes of the Phantom Menace, I'd be great. But
Yes.
I don't need young Darth Vader yelling "Yippee!"
No, and we don't need Jar Jar, and we don't need the Gungans, and we don't.
And
need...
I don't need him translating R2-D2 for me, because you know what? When I was six and I was listening to R2-D2, I got the gist.
I got it. I knew where he was going.
It's like with my.
I don't think he likes you at all. No, I don't like you either.
It's like with many members of my family that only speak Spanish. I'm like, oh, I get the gist of it. You know, like I know what's happening.
I know what they're.
Yeah.
I know what they're calling.
Do
me.
I know what exact pronoun they're using? No, but I mean, it's like, oh, cool. It's eat time. We're gonna eat. you know.
Time for chow.
That's our, man, that sounds horrible. That's R2-D2 for me, like, where I'm just like, oh, it's an elder relative that doesn't speak English, and I understand exactly what they're saying.
Context, brother.
Context. So, you know, you actually brought this, bringing this up, I don't know what I would grab out of my house, the number one thing. I mean, obviously, my wife would be over my shoulder.
Well, of course. That's number one.
My teddy bear that I've had since I was one, because I want to save that for my first kid.
Yes, you save it.
Honestly, and this is going to sound really dumb.
Your black exploitation collection?
No, I can always get that again.
Gotcha.
My 1986... Oh, yes, please. My 1986 Firestorm DC Superpowers figure that I have held on to since I was four.
Wow.
Yeah, he squeezes his legs, his arm goes around. They call it the Atomic Punch, which is kind of lame because he doesn't really do anything.
Of course it does.
But I've had that thing for so long.
Two old action figures.
Two old action figures, which I have aplenty.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay, so this will be the last thing, and then we're going to end after this. All right. Okay? Do you have an action figure obsession? And when I say this, I want you to listen.
You say obsession like it's a bad thing.
No. I want you... I'm not being... I'm being too vague. I have every single Colossus action figure. Is there an action figure character...
God bless you.
...that you have so many of? Where you see that character, you're like, I need to get this new action figure up. I have from the 1979, like, plastic mold Colossus action figure that it came out with to present day. Like, including Minimates.
I'm impressed, yeah. Sir.
Well,
I'll say sir again.
Well, not a lot of people like Colossus, and they're all fools.
Oh, why wouldn't you love Colossus?
I have a tattoo of it.
He turns into steel.
Yeah. That's one of my top three superpowers.
And I love that Deadpool got it right with a Russian accent.
Oh my god, Deadpool got so
Deadpool.
Good. Yeah. Deadpool. He might break your bones. I can kind of do a good Russian accent.
We all can.
Yes.
Oh, man, you know what? I go nuts for the Star Wars action figures and ships.
Yes.
I don't think I have one more than the... Like, I don't have every Luke. I don't have every Darth Vader.
I have every B-Wing.
Really?
I love the B-Wing. I don't know why, but I think the B-Wing is the coolest ship in all of Star Wars.
Well, the B-Wing in Star Wars Rebels made the B-Wing finally look like the awesome ship that it really is.
With the maneuverability?
Yes. Yeah. And it spins around in the...
But it's a heavy bomber. That's the point of it.
Yeah.
My grandpa used to be in a heavy bomber during World War II. And that's what... Wow. I was just like, oh, that's the heavy bomber of the Star Wars universe. That's what really got me into it.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
I do have the TIE bomber, and I love that.
I love all the variations of TIE fighters.
I love the TIE fighters more than the X-Wings.
Yeah, X-Wings, I mean, I get it. They look like a standard spaceship.
It's a F-16 in space.
Yeah, but
the TIE fighters.
There's the TIE fighter, TIE bomber, the interceptor, TIE advanced, which is Darth Vader's.
Yes.
The TIE... Punisher. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
I've seen the Punisher.
TIE Punisher, it's a TIE interceptor, but with three wings all around it.
I have seen that one.
Yeah. I believe that's what it's called. Yeah. They went to town on that.
Imperials have better ships.
Well, and here's the absolute last thing. I'm hitting his arm when I'm saying this because we are at 118. 18. We're at 1 hour and 18 minutes.
We're up on the wall, up against the wall.
This is the very last thing we're going to talk about. Because you love Star Wars. And I consider you a knowledge base of Star Wars.
Thank you.
So you've seen the Star Wars alphabet.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm Aresh.
There's no A, B, Y, X, B, anything. There's no E. So where did they get the names for them?
Ooh.
Yeah. Why is there an X-Wing? Because they don't have an X in the alphabet.
In the Aresh alphabet.
Yeah. Take that, George Lucas.
Take that, buddy.
Yeah. So that's my...
When I see him, I'll give him what for.
I'm going to yell at his face.
And tell him, how dare you.
And then I'll thank him for Howard the Duck.
And then I'll hug him, then I'll cry a little bit.
And
weep.
But, like, so I was just wondering, is that, like, something you ever thought of? Like, they don't have an English
phonetically
alphabet.
English alphabet.
Yeah.
That's a really good question.
Yeah.
I love that question.
Yeah. I mean, I guess shapes... But it's still, like, the A-Wing looks like a capital A. I get that.
Being that it was the galaxy a
long time ago and far, far away.
We're going to have to suspend our beliefs on
Oh, no, I take it all as fact.
As you should.
As you should. And we're going to leave it at that. Gil, thank you so much for being here with me. I consider you one of my favorite customers, but also a close friend.
So much fun.
So can they follow you on anything? Or do you have a Twitter?
I'm just Gil Gonzalez on Facebook.
Just Gil Gonzalez on Facebook.
And my recent profile pic update is me hugging Carrie Fisher.
Ah, yeah.
At Dallas Comic Con. Rest in peace, princess.
Rest in peace, princess.
We love you.
She was always the princess that I cared about the most.
She's a princess.
If I had to storm a castle, I hope she would be in there.
Absolutely.
You can follow me at Super Ty Denton 1, as in the number. And, we'll catch you next time. Hey, Gil, anytime you want to do this again, if you have any new ideas that you want to talk about, you
let
me know.
We can talk more about the Super Friends, I think,
today. You know what? Let's do an entire episode about
on the Super Friends.
Friends
and Apache Chief and the Wonder Twins, not Dan and Jaina.
Oh, man. Oh, wow. Okay.
You see, it's already... It writes itself.
Wait, okay. So this is the very last thing. What were the... It wasn't the Wonder Twins, but they did have the dog.
Yes.
And it was the guy in a white shirt with a green cape.
Marvin.
Marvin and...
Wendy.
Wendy. What were their names? What was their name?
Oh.
They weren't the Super Twins. They were
Marvin and Wendy.
It was just Marvin and Wendy?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought
that's why he had a big M on his shirt. For Marvin.
So we're going to get into that later.
That's the next podcast.
Okay, guys, thank you very much for listening. If you ever want to be on this podcast, just message me
I did meet the woman who voiced Wonder Woman.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, you did. You told me about
it. Comic-Con in San Antonio. She's the last, I believe, last living voice actor from the Super Friends.
Man.
I think they're all no longer with us.
Ouch.
Sorry to end on a downer, but
she
was wonderful.
I always put it like this. We're in an age of when our heroes are dying.
Yeah, they are.
But there are heroes because they live such large lives.
By golly, I got to meet one, and I was in my Robin costume.
Yeah.
And she loved it. And I could, when she was talking, I heard Wonder Woman.
See? And
in
that's,
real life. And she said, great era, and I almost fainted.
See? And that's exactly what I'm talking about. So, guys, if you... like this, you know, give us a comment or, you know, click the like button or whatever. I don't know. But if you ever want to be on this, just give me a holler at SuperTyDenton1. I'm more than willing to have anybody on. Why not? All you got to do is just be over 21 so we can have some drinks.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want to drink, that's fine. I will drink.
Drink your drink.
Yes. And we'll go from there. So thank you very much, everybody, and we'll catch you next time.